Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Spin It Social Hour. My name is Stefan Kaplan, and I am a social media and visual strategist, and it is a pleasure to be here with you this morning. Every Saturday now for 23 shows, I have been putting on the Spin It Social Hour as a labor of love to share the work and the journey of photographers everywhere. And it has been tremendous doing this now for 23 straight shows. And it's a pleasure to be able to get their names out there more, because when this pandemic hit, I decided that we needed to do something to help the photographers out there. Being a former photo editor at the New York Times of 20 years and a photojournalist on my own, as well as a social media and visual strategist working with the Pulitzer Prizes, AARP, and many, many others, including Sri Srinivasan and his DigiMentors team, producing live streams everywhere, I decided that this is my way of giving back and making sure that we help the photo community. So today, I am thrilled to bring on Andrew Scrivani. But before we do that, I wanted to let you know about my first official sponsor. And I am thrilled because my dear friend, Emilio Pardo, who's a visionary brand strategist, has been sponsoring the show, and I am very thankful for his sponsorship. And I am now producing a show for him called Real Talk Live from the Barn. And the third show, actually, is next Sunday, and it's going to be with Dr. Christine Whalen of the University of Madison, Wisconsin, on small steps to making meaning in chaos. So let's take a quick look at that. Real Talk, live from the barn, next Sunday at 6:30. Please join us and Dr. Christine Whalen for this really important conversation on small steps to making meaning in chaos. Dr. Whalen is an amazing professor at the University of Madison, Wisconsin. So, as I said, today we are here to see the work and talk to Andrew Scrivani. So, with no further ado, I am going to give him the buildup that he deserves. Andrew Scrivani is a photographer, director, and producer who has worked on editorial, publishing, advertising, content creation, documentary, and feature film projects. He is also an internationally recognized workshop instructor and author and columnist on the subject of visuals. Andrew is also an executive producer for the film company Burrow 5 Pictures, and last year completed work on his first full-length feature film, Team Marco. Andrew is also the author of That Photo Makes Me Hungry, Photographing Food for Fun and Profit. His latest cookbook collaboration with Anna Gass of Food 52 is Heirloom Kitchen. His clients include the New York Times, Condé Nast, Meredith Corporation, Hearst Corporation, Apple, Adobe, and countless others. Andrew has also directed and photographed the latest campaigns for Oprah Winfrey's Oh, That's Good Foods and Bumblebee Tuna, as well as directing a short documentary film for the New Yorker magazine and the Blades of New York's Forged in Fire. Folks, help me welcome the great Andrew Scrivani. I am a big fan. Hey, Andrew, how are you?
I'm great. How are you, Stefan? Nice to be here today.
I'm doing just fine. It's a beautiful day outside. I'm getting nice sunlight from the windows facing me. Makes me look pretty. I got my new chapeau on that I wear every week, and sort of becoming my trademark. But it is such a pleasure having you here, Andrew. I have to tell you, I spent 20 years at the Times up in the wire service, and I used to arm wrestle people to edit your photos.
Well, that's quite a compliment. I'm happy that the work made you happy. That's great.
You know, I love food too. I come from an Italian Jewish family. So, you know, it's, and now my wife's Chinese now. So I love food from everywhere. and I eat and eat some more. So when I see your photos, they thrill me all the time.
Hopefully, you know, as a food photographer, you want people to feel something when you put a picture in front of them. And if that's hunger, if it's memory, if it's nostalgia, whatever it might be, but you know, like any artist, you want to make people feel something.
Oh, you make me feel a lot with food, man. It's great. but anyway, you know, one of the things I want to do is tell everybody, folks, we are here to support our photo community. So please share this broadcast. Make sure you share this with your network, with your friends, with your family, even with your frenemies. Share it with everyone. But the thing is that also, please be sure to comment. Leave comments. We're going to be taking some questions at the midway point. We'll also be putting some of your observations and comments up on the ticker here. This is StreamYard, a great platform that I use, and it is a fantastic way of helping the photo community spread the word. So we're going to get right to it, Andrew, because we have a lot to cover, buddy. And one of the things I want to do right from the start is ask you, Andrew, you know, this is a tremendously difficult time for so many people, and I hope everyone out there is doing well. My thoughts are with anyone who has lost anybody in this pandemic and who is struggling. It's a tough time, folks, but we are with you, and we hope you are well. So, Andrew, my question to you is, what were you doing before COVID hit, and have you been able to translate in any of that to now, and what are you doing to stay busy and creative?
Yeah, first off, I want to echo what Stefan just said about the pandemic and about the things that have happened. I mean, obviously, I'm a native New Yorker, and we were hit considerably hard. But I'm also proud that we have responded in the post March, April time to be a leader in showing that, you know, what can happen if you do the right thing. So I echo his thoughts. As far as what I was doing pre-COVID, I was working, I had to fly to Seattle for a film festival, and I was also teaching a class at Creative Live in mid-March,
okay,
or early March, actually. Sorry, late February. I left the last week in February, and I was there for about a week. Mm-hmm. And while I was there, the outbreak in Kirkland happened, and I actually had a workshop that was scheduled really close to there. So I went through the paces. I did everything I had to do, but I was extraordinarily mindful of what was happening. And then I had to fly back to New York. And I think only a couple of weeks later, we went down into lockdown. And a lot of the projects that I had were sort of shelved. I was up for a few commercials. There were some other projects that we were working on. Luckily, we were able to get the two Creative Live classes in the can. So those were able to get rolled out in the pandemic, which actually helped because a lot of that was very relevant. They were about social media and about mobile photography. Mm. So it actually was super relevant to what was happening. And then as we were into the pandemic, I mean, I'm relatively self-sufficient in having my own studio. And because I've done a lot of my own styling, the work that I do for the New York Times continued, except I wasn't able to use my crew. So that, you know, kind of threw me back to the beginning of doing a lot of the things myself, which was interesting and humbling to remember what it's like to and how hard the people who work with me work to make it, you know, beautiful and to make it relevant. So there was that. And then, you know, my wife was home working from home and I was doing a lot of cooking for her. And I thought about this and I was like, well, why don't I just share what I'm doing at home with an audience on Instagram? And I started the Work From Home Cafe, right? So I was posting a lot on story, some of it in video, some of it in stills. And then the educational platform that I work with, Creative Live, said, hey, do you want to do that with us?
Right.
And they have the capability of a TV studio remotely. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So we were able to run two camera shoots off my laptop and my phone. Right. And we did that for 12 weeks during the pandemic, where I would cook something, teach people how to cook it, teach them how to plate it, and then take it over to the table and shoot it. And because I was not in my studio, it was very much like what everyone else was having to deal with. If you had your camera and you're in your kitchen, find a window, get some good light, do a little redirection with some cards. And it's and it was, you know, it was very back to basics, and for me and for the audience. So that was sort of kept me pretty busy during the height of the pandemic, for sure.
I was laughing. I was giggling because John Quincy is a great photographer who I know. He put that I love shooting food. They never complain.
You know, I've had a similar response sometimes. And why do you like shooting food? It's like, well, the food doesn't talk back.
Right. Well, John shoots a lot of models and a lot of concerts and a lot of performers. So that's I'm sure that's what he's getting at. Anyway, we're already getting some comments. Why don't we look at some of them and see who's chiming in here? I think I saw Claudette. Claudette chimed in. Was that Claudette? Did I see a comment from Claudette? I wanted to mention her. Claudette Herring. There is. Good morning. So Claudette and her partner, Lauren, they actually own a restaurant, maybe you've heard of, down on in Red Bank, New Jersey, called Pier 45.
Okay, yeah, sure.
I met them years ago when I first started. They were one of my first social media clients with somebody I worked for, and I started doing social media for restaurants. So that's cool. Anyway, she's here. And a bunch of other people. Jonathan will throw them up. So this is the ultimate question, of course. What got – here we go. It's not on there. What happened to it? Sorry about that. Where did it go? Okay. There we go. How did you get started in photography, Andrew? And what was that moment in life that made you say, this is what you're going to pursue as a career?
Well, it's interesting is that I had a whole career before photography. Mm-hmm. You know, I was a teacher. I was a coach. I spent almost 20 years in education, and a lot of that time overlapped. But when I was a young man in college, I was going to school at Baruch in New York City.
Oh, wow. I went to Baruch.
It's the alumni association here. And my buddy, Joe Fornabio, who is a photo editor at the Journal. He was a student at SVA, and we were best friends through college. Mm-hmm. And I spent a lot of time on that campus with him as a photo major, learning about studio photography. And it took a while, but I was an amateur photographer for quite a bit. It took me, you know, a good amount of time to realize it was something I really wanted to do. I went through some life changes. And I went through a divorce, and I was sort of rebuilding my life. And photography was something that felt really comfortable. And I got back into that crowd with photographers and editors and people that I met along the way. And I picked up an assignment here and an assignment there. And I was doing a lot of photography, you know, on my own personal projects. And I got an assignment here. I got an assignment there. And I got a couple of assignments for the New York Times, where I would have to go out into the field. One of them was to photograph sort of secretly in a grocery store where they wanted pictures of people shopping for meat. Now, if you've ever tried to take pictures in a grocery store, you get the manager's attention rather quickly.
Oh yeah, sure.
So I had my camera sort of tucked into my coat, and I was just pulling off shots as I was walking around in the meat department. Uh-huh. And I guess they were happy about that because I got some pretty cool shots. And then I ended up getting an assignment at Eggers ice cream shop in Staten Island, where I'm from.
Oh,
and
okay.
That was a thrill because it was a place that I would go to as a kid, ride our bikes and go get ice cream and candy. So that was a real thrill to do that. And then, of course, you know, once you're in, and you know this as an editor, it's like once you prove that you're reliable, you'll get assignments. And then if you prove that you're talented, you'll get better assignments. Mm-hmm. So I grew into the role. The fact that I knew how to cook was a big plus, because a lot of the stuff I did for the dining section early on was just restaurant work.
Right.
I would go out into a restaurant and take pictures. But then I started getting an assignment here and there where, hey, can you prepare this food and take a picture of it? So it sounds kind of funny now, almost 20 years later, that it was that casual. But the reality was that food photography as an art form was just an adjunct of still life photography. So still life photographers and food photographers were effectually interchangeable, and they did both because they were done the same way, right? On film, shoot a Polaroid, hot lights, strobes, whatever it might be, a lot of fake food on the table. And in the 2000s with the digital revolution in photography, it was much easier to take test shots and shoot in natural light and do the things that we do now. So that was sort of, I was right there in that pocket. Like I got into photography just at the right time. Okay. And I had a skill set to translate to the sort of growing industry of food photography.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a great story, because I'm always encouraging people, no matter where they are in their career. And I also know I listened to a great interview you did with someone about the about failure. We were talking about that. And in that interview, I really got a lot out of it. It was interesting. You know, you talk about how a lot of people talk about making it, and this concept and this mindset of making it is actually detrimental to your career sometimes, because if you think you've made it, you know, then you're not as driven sometimes.
I think that's absolutely true. I think I had a conversation with my business partner in film yesterday.
Right.
And, we were talking about our roles as our company is growing. And the reality is that, you know, I started from scratch again 4 years ago. Like, yeah, I brought with me some skills as a photographer and as a producer, and somebody who's been on film sets as a commercial director, but I had no idea what film was about. Nothing, zero. I started from scratch. I threw myself into it and at the mercy of the process. And, you know, along the way, it's been hard. You know, like I wasn't very good at a lot of things, and I'm still learning, and it's something that humbles you. But unless you're willing to grow and learn as in anything, but particularly in these kinds of art forms, you know, there is no making it. You know, there is just being successful or not being successful. And your goal should be to continue to learn from the mistakes and hopefully become successful enough to make a living at something you love doing. And, but there's also no shame in it being a really talented hobbyist, you know, and doing things on your own and self-publishing on social media. We have these options now. Yep. So the concept of making it honestly is about happiness for me. It's like whether or not you're happy doing what you're doing and you feel fulfilled.
If I could double pound it for you, I would right now, because I'm all about that, brother. Let me tell you something. I worked with AARP's Life Reimagined platform for about 5 years when I first launched my Spin It Social brand. And I worked with some of the foremost thought leaders out there on the power of purpose and passion. And it changed my life, because I won't be, and no disrespect to the term water cooler job, but, you know, the bottom line is that I'm a creative guy, and I like, you know, I love doing a million different things. And I always say, I don't like being contained, you know?
Oh, I get that. I do. And I think you could tell by the things that you mentioned in the beginning that I have my irons in a lot of fires.
Yes.
You know, creative arts are finicky. And sometimes, you know, if you put all your eggs in one basket, pardon the food metaphor, it can be a dangerous place to be financially. Yes. So, I mean, having multiple streams of interest that could possibly become multiple streams of income are clearly like what's on my mind when I'm sort of doing a lot of the things that I'm doing.
Right. No, it's true. Because these days being diverse and having skills that you can easily use in many different ways is the way to be. I mean, you can really, it's always about always, my colleague Sri Srinivasan always says, always be learning, always be learning.
Absolutely.
Sorry about that.
You okay?
Sorry, just got a frog caught in my throat, and not frog's legs, by the way.
No, something I've never photographed, believe it or not.
Really?
Yeah, there's a few things that I haven't photographed, but that's one of them. I've never photographed that.
Wow, that's so. I just happened to say that, and here I pick out the one thing you've never photographed.
Well, I'm sure there's more than one, but that's definitely one of them.
That was the first thing, the first time I went to Paris, that I tried the minute I got off the plane. Anyway, Edward had a question. Let's put Edward's question up on the board. Edward's a big fan of the show, and he's a great photographer and avid Leica user, and he has great questions every week.
Great.
So let me see Edward's question, his or comment. As humans, Food always brings people together, friends, family, strangers alike, and photographing food, especially in the age of COVID-19. What positive impact do you believe your images have had on not only yourself, but others around you and beyond, Andrew?
Oh, I mean, I think that's really easy. I think that the connection you make to culture is something that, you know, food is a first contact sort of with new cultures and new people, right? We open a door to each other through our food, usually first, right? We learn about other cultures, we learn about other people. And I think that I've tried to celebrate that in my photography and my love of food. And I think that by doing that, it creates a community. And I think that the community that I've kind of surrounded myself with in social media, particularly during the pandemic, are people who love food. And they want to talk about it. They want to learn about it. And they want to be together in that moment where they get to share it. So I think that even though we can't be in restaurants or we can't cook together, we can share food in a very, you know, sort of palatable way online, you know, together apart in a way.
I've even found, having grown up in a Italian and Jewish family, I even found that dinners are great because you could be arguing even before dinner, but you could always make up over a great meal. And food is the most amazing thing to meet people. Every city I've traveled to, unfortunately, we can't travel now. I love meeting people and just sitting down and having meals with them and great drinks with them. I mean, isn't that the best?
Absolutely. You know, and since this began, we've had very few opportunities to spend time with other groups of friends or, you know, whatever. And in the few times we have figured out a safe way to gather with other people, the question I get, in spite of the fact that people know what I do for a living, they ask me all the time, do you eat like this all the time? So it's sort of like, yeah, it's bled into my real life. Yeah, I do eat like this all the time.
You know, I didn't know you were originally from Staten Island, so I have to give a shout out to my colleague and who brought me into FIT as an adjunct professor is Marilyn Zafert. Marilyn, if you're listening, share this broadcast, tag all of Staten Island because Andrew's in the house, and Marilyn, we call her the Queen of Staten Island.
Oh, all right. I know a few queens on Staten Island, so sure. Well,
Marilyn is the social media queen of Staten Island. She she doesn't know. I'm sure she knows you, but hasn't met you.
I mean, if she's met my business partner, Julio, about all of the things that we've done on Staten Island, including filming Team Marco, I'm sure that she's quite aware. So that
well, she runs a social media handle called Staten Island Today, I believe.
Staten Island Live.
Yeah. Staten Island Live. That's right. And Jonathan, if you're listening, why don't you tag Marilyn in the Facebook comments? And let her know, say, Marilyn, we're live right now with the king of Staten Island.
Well, I don't know. No, I think that's what's his name?
Oh, that's right. That's a new movie.
From Saturday Night Live. I know.
We're having married to Scarlett Johansson, right?
We're having that moment right now. But it's Colin Jost.
Oh, that's Colin Jost. Sorry, Colin.
The other guy.
I'm never going to get on Saturday Night Live now. I just messed up. All right. So anyway, that's the comedy moment there. So, Andrew, looking at all these amazing photographs, I mean, I'm looking at the steak and I'm getting really hungry. Edward chimed in saying that the show is making me hungry. My refrigerator is going to be raided very soon. So what drives you as a photographer, Andrew? Perfecting the craft, the search for that perfect picture or the perfect meal even, or the technique?
I do think it's technique driven because I really think that ultimately, if you are a technically proficient photographer and you understand your subject matter, that it will translate to the photo. So I think that if you are serious about any form of photography, and I know we have lots of different types of photographers who are listening today, it really is about perfecting the technique of your particular art form. So food photography is very different than some other forms of photography, just like portrait or reportage or anything else, architectural photography. But if you are serious about your technique and you know how to apply best practices to your particular subset of photography, that's definitely where I try to live. I try to live in that space where I'm doing the things that make my style recognizable, but also, you know, doing best practices as, you know, a food photographer.
Right, right, right. There's a quick little video clip I want to show that I really liked from you. I'm going to take this off for a second, and I'm going to go here, and I'm going to share it for a second. And I really liked it. So here we go.
Ultimately, whenever we struggle with anything, what we really want to know is that it's normal that we feel this way. Even if you're at the top of your career or just starting, you're always going to get blocked. And you have to be able to push through it. And you're not alone in that.
Just a quick little clip. I really liked what you had to say in that one little clip. I try to grab sound bites of things to show during the show to be able to illustrate certain points that we've either hit on or that we will hit on. And I think that's a really powerful statement there. So, but one of the things I want to do is look for any more comments and questions here. So if we have any, Jonathan, you can throw them up and we will try to tackle a few. Also, the other thing that I wanted, here we have Bimal Nepal from Boston and Massachusetts, food photography, natural light versus studio lights. Let us know your experience, please, he says.
Well, that's an easy one. I shot daylight for a very, very long time, and I was in the process of trying to figure out how to mimic daylight with artificial lights.
Okay.
And I tried lots of different techniques, and I got very close on a number of, you know, almost indistinguishable with a number of techniques until I found what I'm doing now, which is almost exclusively artificial light that looks very much like daylight. Because of my experience in working in film, I learned about a whole nother range of lighting techniques that I'm employing now in my food photography. So it gives me a level of control and consistency that I really like, but it also allows me to be still myself in terms of how I'm lighting my work and kind of keeping a style that I've become recognizable.
Well, your work is recognizable. And speaking of recognizable, why don't you fill us in on this absolutely phenomenal photo that you're going, I know you're going to enlighten us with the facts about, because I remembered it, but why don't you tell the story, Andrew?
Sure. I mean, this is sort of the pinnacle of like all the things I've learned and did in my photography career with food. This was the Thanksgiving spread, I think in 2016 or 2017, for the New York Times. And this at the time, and might still be the single largest photograph that was ever published in the paper. It is 8 sheets of newsprint wide.
Wow.
So it's basically like a poster. But, I mean, beyond that part of the specs, executing all this food at once is a challenge. How we lit this, which was strobe, basically created a light tent the size of my studio because this table was, you know, 7 feet long. The camera was mounted as high as we could get it. And some of this food is actually because we were trying to combat lens aberration and we didn't want to have to do it all in post-production.
Mm-hmm.
So actually the food on the right and the left sides of the frame are actually propped higher.
Okay.
So that with the lens aberration, it looks flat. So there was so many technical skill set kind of elements to this that, you know, me and my team and the people that I trust the most with this type of work,
right.
You know, my best food stylists were there. My longtime assistant and collaborator, Devin Knight, was there. And we basically put all our energies and the collective knowledge into making this photograph sort of work.
What a fun thing to do, man. It must have been
great. It was so much fun. We always had fun on the Thanksgiving shoots. We really did. We did this stop motion one time where I gave everybody a character, like your crazy uncle, you're the vegan who doesn't eat anything on Thanksgiving. Like I gave everybody a character, and then frame by frame, we ate the dinner.
But did you have them dress up as the crazy uncle?
No, just their plate. Their plate represented who they were.
Oh, okay.
There was like a plate with tinfoil over it because that was the latecomer. You know, there's a person who only eats the drumstick. You know, like, so we had all of these people that we created these characters for, and they ate their meal like they would if they were in character. And then we did a stop motion of it. It's still around. It's on the Time site. I think it's probably in my Instagram feed somewhere too, but it was so much fun to do.
What an amazing. So you get a photo like this and published like the size of like, you know, something that could hang in the Metropolitan Museum of Art. And I mean, God, I mean, okay, we talked about the concept of not thinking that you've made it, so you keep struggling. Where do you go from there, Andrew?
Well, you know, the thing is that it's different every time, right? Sure. So it's not like you can say, all right, well, we pulled that off. It's sort of like, whoo, we pulled that off, you know, and you're just like, luckily that we were able to kind of make it work. But listen, turkey and all these things, pie, all of these things are individually difficult to execute. So, you know, it's put good people around you, you know, that you trust and work really hard. And hopefully, you know, you run a team in a way that everybody kind of wants to go through the wall for you.
Right.
And I think that's sort of the people that I've worked with, have shown me that kind of dedication and, you know, and that's reciprocal.
I get it. I get it, man. So I have a friend, his name is David Guzman, and David's a very good friend of mine and he is an amazing chef, and I'm going to bring him on because he wants to ask you a question.
Absolutely.
David, welcome. Welcome, brother. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Steph. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for bringing on another fascinating human being. I've been looking at Andrew's work and completely blows me away. Love listening to you, Andrew, about your cosplay tie into your work that you did in Thanksgiving. It sounds like a lot of fun.
It was great. It was a lot of fun. It was, you know, when Thanksgiving is sort of the Super Bowl of food photography every year. And when we get these big assignments, it's a lot of fun to put a team together to work on them because it's like, this is our Thanksgiving, even though sometimes it happens in August or September, you know, to be with my team and to put people together. It's something that we're going to miss doing this year, obviously, right, in the same way. But it is something that we have really great memories of. And obviously the pictures memorialize that in a way. So I have these vivid memories of how we put together these shoots. I still got my head in.
Both, right?
But yeah, I mean, yes. I mean, clearly, I mean, I miss my crews that I work with in film. We have a nice kind of film family, too, that we work with. So yeah, I mean, I think that having the picture to memorialize the time we spent together doing it is really special.
Well, I would challenge you personally to find a way to keep it going this year under the circumstances.
Yeah.
You know, we all need to, you know, and use our passions to not let what's happening, completely, it's going to change everything and that we can't avoid. But we can change it in positive ways.
Sure.
David and I, we met finally for the first time last year with his lovely wife, Maggie, and we went to a dinner in Jersey City and a lunch, and we had a wonderful lunch together because we love food. And David is an amazing chef. His photos on Facebook I told him, I'm moving to become his neighbor one day. The minute somebody puts that house next door up for sale, I'm there.
So let me ask you my question. I, Andrew, was looking at your photos, you know, this morning and enjoying them thoroughly, you know, I mean, beautiful. I kept thinking to myself as I looked at each photo, that photo makes me hungry, you know. So great title for your book. I will definitely purchase it.
Thanks.
You know, interesting.
We're making sales already.
Interesting story. You did something with Forged in Fire.
Yes.
A good friend, my niece, was neighbors with a man by the name of Anthony Fetter.
Okay.
And Anthony was the winner of that show. And he forges himself.
Oh, wow. Great.
And he lives in Owens Mills, Oregon. And ironically, right now, his home is in danger
Oh, no.
From the fires. two of the homes on the street that he lives on, which is a very remote part of Oregon, have been destroyed already. And his forgery that he's put so much, you know, time and money and effort into is in danger. But he made a beautiful blade for me. I'll send you a photo of it, after the show. But the question I had is your photo of the glass bottle with the oil dripping, you know?
Yeah, I do. Which picture are you talking about? Yep.
That really caught my eye. What really caught my eye about it is that the shadows in the background look like a piano keyboard to me, you know? And so it to me, I love the tie-in, which is one of the reasons I love Asian cuisine, but Indian cuisine in particular, is how they take all the senses into play. You know, you've got obviously the taste, but the visual, the auditory, you know, the obviously the olfactory, right, the smell. Oh my God, and all the vibrant colors. So this combination of photography and cooking has always fascinated me because it brings all of that out. And it's not easy to do, you know?
No, it's definitely not. It's something you have to practice. And that shot in particular, you know, sort of the emotion of that is a lot of times I use macro photography and I try to eliminate a lot of the distraction around something that I want people to pay attention to. And I think that your observation that it's about all of the senses, sight, smell, taste, hearing, all of it in one is the goal with a lot of the things that I do, because I want people to feel the picture, not just observe the picture. And sometimes it's the simplest things in a kitchen setting that remind you of what it is you're there for, or it triggers memory, or triggers a smell memory, or any of that. And I think that olive oil is so essential to so many cuisines, and something that people have vivid sort of feelings and memories about. And I think that getting that close to it and feeling that the frame sort of, you become part of it because it's so large in your vision. And it's not a particular viewpoint that we take very often, right? We don't usually get that close to our food, which is part of the reason why I like macro photography, because it gives you a perspective on it that is that can be to be something more emotional than normal, right? Because it's very obvious what I'm trying to do.
Well, for me, goal achieved with that photo. it looked like you used depth of field there to get that highlight and focus that you're talking about. Stefan, I wonder if you can bring that photo up. It's on his Instagram, about the third set of pages down.
Third set of pages on his Instagram. Sure, let's give that a shot real quick.
And so, Andrew, you know, it really evoked for me the musical part of that. You know, for me, I don't know if you know what Santeria is, but in the Puerto Rican culture, it's a big thing, and it's been a big part of my life. And one of the songs that is used is you pour honey. And the honey, you know, just pours a thin line, so, you know, slowly. And the song is like, ba-da-la-li-la guido nido, ba-da-la-li-la guido ni, oh, du-ma-da-la guido nido, ba-da-la-li-la guido ni. And that's what it evokes for me. Wow. That's the memory that it pulled out.
I love it.
Wonderful memory. And so, you know, that's kind of, you know.
That's the one.
Beautiful. Yeah. Look at that. You know, how that bottle just stands out, that little thin strand, you know, that softness of that background. And see how it looks like a piano keyboard?
Yeah, you know what that is?
What is it?
It's the fire escape.
Seriously? Wow. Yeah, I
mean, there are oftentimes we get happy accidents in photography, and using sort of, you know, the shadows and the things that actually happen on the table. Sometimes I don't try to take them away. I try to leave them be, because even if you read that as the fire escape, that might evoke another emotion for you. You know,
absolutely. I grew up in East Harlem, so for me, absolutely.
Yeah, you know, so there are times when things appear to me as I'm shooting, and rather than correct them, I run with them. And that was one of those times.
Awesome. Awesome.
I hope you don't mind me saying this, Avi, but I think, Andrew, you might have sold a photo and a book. Want to go for a triple lotto here?
Anyway, you've answered my question, which I didn't really articulate very clearly, but you got it, which is just that, you know, it seems to me that you try to pull multiple senses into your photos.
Right. Thank you. I appreciate that, because it is definitely is something that I consider. And, you know, the title you mentioned of my book earlier, That Photo Makes Me Hungry, is a testament to the people who I've met who have liked my photographs, because was the most common comment I would get from people. And I was always flattered by it. So it was something that when I was writing the book, my publisher asked me, well, what do you want to call it? And I said, there's only one title for this book, because it's the thing that people have said to me, and that's why I want to write it. And so thank you for tapping into that.
You're welcome.
Boy. David, thank you for coming on, buddy.
Thank you, Stefan.
Okay, we'll see you later. Take care. Be well. Be well. You and the family. Bye-bye.
Thanks.
Well, that was, you know, David's an amazing guy. And
some singing out of it, too.
And I have a little secret about him, too. He's a world-class Pokemon player. Anyway, a man of many talents. And another connection made through social media. So you got to love it. Carol Heppner says, could you please, took that off too fast for me. I can't read that fast. Could you please provide the links to the Instagram accounts of your guests in the comments area of your Facebook post? Thank you. We will. We will, Carol. Thank you. And we are also showing it on the ticker here. But if you want us to do that, we will do that right after the show as well. Okay. But one of the things I want to get to, Andrew, to keep the pace here, is I want to talk about something very special. And then we're going to also talk about your movie production work with T. Marco. But I wanted to talk about a wonderful thing. I love pies, and I love any type of pie pretty much. But tell us about your special relationship and work with Kate McDermott, and tell us also who she is and what she's been a finalist with.
Sure. So, you know, Kate, I met Kate.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't pull up the photo. Okay. Sorry about that. It's kind of leading you on there without the illustration.
It is. Okay. So Kate and I have done three books together to date, and the history of it is, you know, it's kind of special, where I met Kate when she was doing some work for a company called Taylor Shellfish. Mm. I was teaching a workshop in Seattle.
Oh.
One of the first bigger workshops I had ever taught, back in like 2012.
Okay.
And she was there working because Taylor Shellfish had come and done a demo that my students were allowed to photograph of like a world-class shucker who was going to shuck oysters and shellfish. And she was helping them. She was working for the company at that point.
Okay.
And she met me. And I mean, it was just a chance meeting at the thing. I said, hi, you know, whatever. She didn't tell me she was a writer or potential client or anything like that. She just, you know, then I went to IFBC. I was an instructor at the International Food Bloggers Conference, and she was there as a participant.
Okay.
And she came up to me and she's like, hey, do you remember me from the workshop, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, yeah, of course. You know, how you doing? And she's like, I'm here as a, you know, as a blogger, as a writer, and I'm thinking about trying to write a cookbook about pie.
Oh, wow.
And I want you to photograph it.
Wow.
And I was like, you get a book deal, give me a call. I'd be happy to photograph your book. Right. And of course, I had no expectation. You know how many people have told me they want me to shoot their book when they have no book deal? I wouldn't have to work if, you know, I got a dollar for every one of those. But so lo and behold, 3-4 years later, we had stayed in touch through social media or whatever. And she writes me an email. She says, I got my book deal. I'm like, okay, when are we shooting? So,
wow, that's great, man.
We did Art of the Pie, and Art of the Pie has won awards. It's been, I think it's in its 7th or 8th printing.
Wow.
And it was a James Beard finalist based on it. And we have struck a friendship that is a lifelong friendship. I'm friendly with her son, Duncan.
Wow. And
I've been to their home multiple times.
That is such a special story, you know?
Yeah.
It's so special that I think you two should talk about it right here.
There's Kate.
Andrew, if you haven't known by now, my show, I love surprising my guests.
it's always a good surprise when Kate's here. So,
welcome, hey, Kate.
How are you?
Very well.
Good.
So I connected with Kate yesterday to show my social media strategy here. I connected with Kate yesterday after I did all my research on you, and she seemed very approachable. So I cold called her on Messenger, and we talked for about 20 minutes online. We hit it off, and I said, you know what? How'd you like to pay a visit tomorrow and surprise Andrew on the show?
It's pretty early. And here you are, and it's pretty early there.
Do you remember the GUI deck that I brought?
Of course, I was going to bring it up because that's how I remembered her. So the reason I remembered her so vividly
what was the question? Because Kate, you have to speak up a little.
Oh, I was asking Andrew. Can you hear me okay?
A little low, but it's okay.
I can repeat the question too, Steph, but I know what you said.
So I was asking Andrew if he remembered the GUI duck that I brought to the workshop.
Oh.
So a GUI duck clam.
You know, you don't usually bring a GUI duck as your date to a workshop.
What is a GUI duck?
Okay, well, this is where, yeah, I can explain. So a GUI duck clam is a giant phallus. So basically, it's a clamshell about this big and a phallus about that long.
Okay.
So they stick up out of the ocean.
And, Yeah.
So when I met Kate, they had this gigantic GUI duck clam as part of the shellfish thing. And I took a photo of her holding it up like this. So that's how I remembered Kate at the other thing, because it was pretty hard to forget. So.
and I thought you guys met over a pie plate in this photo.
Well, yeah. I did bring pies to your workshop too.
That's right. You did. That was a crazy couple of days.
I kind of hit it on all places there. Pies, shellfish, photography,
everything.
Food. Well, so now, Kate, enlighten everybody to your incredible achievements, including being a James Beard finalist.
Well, that was kind of unexpected. Life puts many things on your plate, and you never know what's coming next. So it's been kind of like I sort of feel like Cinderella. That and Andrew in some ways has been Prince Charming, because truly a book contract, being contacted first of all by a publisher and saying, will you write a book, we'd like to do a book with you, which is basically what happened to me, and then having that done three times with the same publisher and the same amazing team,
right.
Just is really pretty magical. And so our first collaboration together was Art of the Pie, which is still blowing my mind that it's in as many printings and has reached as many people, both for its words and recipes and, well, actually the three things, words, recipes, and Andrew's amazing photos. It's really a wonderful partnership. Then we did Home Cooking together. Which has done, you know, really well. Andrew has come into my home and cooked with me and taken these photos and laughed and cried with me. We've danced. We've done all sorts of things. And now, you know, we've worked on our third book, which is There I Am. and now, you know, our third book, Pie Camp, which is it's kind of like, you know, these are the three sisters and this is my youngest daughter here. And it's going to be, it's launching on October 6th, and it's already pre-press that is just phenomenal. And I could not have done this without Andrew. Our partnership, we have created a good partnership with your photographer is something that I don't know whether other people understand how amazing and special this relationship is and has been and continues to be. This is, wow. I'm still truly, I feel like Cinderella.
And I am thrilled to bring you on here to let everybody know about your book too and Andrew's work with you. And we had your website up there so everybody can see it. Everybody should visit Kate's website at Kate McDermott at Art of the Pie. Not hard to forget, folks. Art of the Pie. Check her out and also check her out on Instagram. But this new book, it will be out in October 2020, and I'm sure it's going to be amazing. I wanted to go through a couple of other things here. Kate, what is this?
That is the Nana Banana Cream Pie.
Nana Banana Cream Pie?
Yeah, Nana wow. Banana. You know, and I have to constantly tell spell check that, yes, that is how you spell Nana Banana.
Yes.
Well,
so it's, that, yeah, these are all pictures from the books. That's a pastry cream that you know, we put into a tart pan and put some berries on top. Very easy stuff to make. I make home pies. These are not fancy styled pies. Whoa. Every pie that you see in our books, every picture is made with my hands. And which sort of blows my mind and makes me laugh a lot that, you know, I get a food stylist credit on these books.
Well, those photos are Kate's photos too. You know, the ones you're seeing in right. here, because Kate is a pretty good amateur photographer herself. She has her camera that has been named Otto.
Otto.
You know, yeah, his Otto. And there's a story in my book, you'll have to read it, about how the names of her camera sort of came to be. I wrote a chapter about it, and it's a lot of fun. But Kate...
That's a picture of what's happening today. Can you go back one picture?
Yeah.
So if I may say, I pivoted, like so many of us, from teaching in-person classes to now teaching virtual classes. And you're looking at my broadcast studio, which today, after we finish here, I'm teaching a class on gluten-free pear pie. And I have 25 students from all over the country and in other countries that join me right in my kitchen, and I can be in their kitchen. So,
You have these, and you have these things called the virtual pie camp, I see.
I do. Yeah, that's what's happening.
That's a lot of pies.
It is. Those are Pi Camp grads, virtual Pi Camp grads.
Well, you can tell everybody in that photo that they've been highlighted on the Spin It Social Hour, so they can share it with all their friends, and therefore everybody knows about your pies even more. Whoa, that's who's that?
That's my dog, yeah. So, you know, Greta. I could not have done this without Andrew.
Well, you know, Kate, I hope that this has been great. I know you have to go to your thing and everything, but I wanted to bring you on to surprise Andrew and let everybody know about this special relationship and work relationship with you two. And what a great moment to have you two talk for a few minutes here on the Spin It Social Hour.
Thanks. And as I say to everybody, be happy, stay home, make pie.
Make pie.
Stay home, make pie.
Pie books.
Everybody check out Art of the Pie, Kate McDermott, folks. Kate, thank you very much.
Pie Camp. Don't forget Pie Camp.
Yep, and let me switch back to that for 1 second. And everybody go out and buy Pie Camp, okay?
Go get it. Step by step. Kate,
take care. Bye, dear.
Thanks for coming.
Bye. Okay.
All right. Did I get you?
It never surprises me when Kate pops up.
Well, actually, at least she didn't have that giant clam with her.
The giant clam. It's a funny, funny picture. So
I bet it is. So anyway, let's get back to Andrew Scrivani here, and let us talk about Team Marco. Let me bring that up, actually. And we want to talk to everybody about your great work with, let me switch back to it here. Andrew is also an accomplished director and producer and filmmaker. So, Andrew, why don't you tell us about Team Marco and this incredible, I won't say pivot that you've done because it's part of being a creative, but tell us about your work in this field.
Yeah, I mean, a few years back, a friend of mine who I used to work with when I was a teacher, I went off to become a photographer, and he went to USC to become a director. Mm-hmm. So he went through their master's program in directing, which is one of the premier filmmaking film schools in the country, and then came back to New York and, you know, sought out his friends who were in creative fields and said, hey, you know, I'm thinking about starting a film company and I'm raising money to make three movies. Mm-hmm. Do you want to be an investor? You know, can you give me any advice? And he and I sort of rekindled our friendship over that idea. And I became an investor in his company. And I started to think, well, you know, I'm already sort of three quarters of the way there with things I've been doing. Why not throw myself into this and learn what it really means to be a filmmaker? And I did. And basically, I put myself on that set. I was involved in the entire pre-production for about a year. Mm-hmm. On set every day for 30 days in front of the monitor, working with actors, working with talent, working with crew, understanding what it meant to be a producer. Mm-hmm. And I grew into the role, and we made a very special movie that is going to be available to you on any video on demand platform the week before Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. So you'll be looking out for it on your cable, VOD, Apple, Amazon, Vudu, any place where you can do video on demand. So Team Marco, before the pandemic, had been a headline film at film festivals all around the world. We've won awards all around the world.
We see that. Winner, an audience award, Family Mill Valley Film Festival. Winner of Best Feature Audience Award, Green Bay Film Festival. Winner of Best Family Film, Garden State Film Festival. Best Family Film, Sedona International Film Festival. And finally here, winner of Best Feature Film in the Children's Film Festival in Seattle. Wow, congratulations, man.
Thank you. Yes, we're really proud of it. It's a story of a little boy named Marco and his grandfather who loses his wife and then his home and has to go live with his daughter and her son, and she's a single parent. Okay. So when grandpa gets there, he's sort of dismayed by the fact that the boy doesn't really leave the house. He plays video games all the time and doesn't really have a connection to other people. So he decides he's going to take him out to hang out with his friends playing bocce. Ah. So the entire movie revolves around the ideas of friendship and gameplay and family. It's set in Staten Island, where we're from. We had amazing cooperation from the borough, from the Parks Department, from the city. I mean, we had just enormous amounts of support from our community in Staten Island and local vendors and everything that I could, you can't even imagine the amount of support we got from our hometown on this. So it's a beautiful film. It's funny. It's touching. It's heartwarming. And we're super proud of it. And we're hoping that get it out to everybody and people enjoy it.
You know, it hits home with me for several points. One is the Italian background to the film, of course. The mm-hmm. second is the bocce connection, because I grew up across the street from Washington Square Park.
Sure.
And I'm a born and bred Greenwich Villager. Always be my heart, will always be there. And there used to be these bocce courts right across the street from NYU's Loeb Center. Right in the corner of the park there, above the band shell area that they had. Mm-hmm. And they've set that up. And I used to go over there and play with some of the older guys who used to play bocce and stuff. And it was always very heartwarming to do that, you know?
Yeah.
And struck up some wonderful friendships. You know, I was a teenager at the time, but they were very, very kind gentlemen from the neighborhood who always kept tabs on the kids and always made sure everybody stayed out of trouble, or at least tried. And, you know, this movie sounds wonderful. And if I'm correct, I think we have a friend in common that whose son is in this too, perhaps.
Oh yeah, our friend Dana Kennedy, who is the publisher at Simon & Schuster and former New York Times and the Pulitzers. Her son Jordan, who's my surf buddy, we surf together. He is in the film, and he has a speaking role, and he's a prominent figure in a couple of big scenes. And he was a wonderful actor, and he did a wonderful job. And you really have to see it. I'd be remiss if I didn't mention that my business partner, who's also the writer-director of this film, is Julio Vincent Gambuto. And we'll be, if you really want to get a sense of who Julio is, we're producing a show for YouTube Kids right now that's going to be out in October called Uncle Julie.
Okay.
Kids Trivia Show. Okay. So we're going to be running out some information on that very soon in conjunction with our promotion of Team Marco. And, you know, so we're sort of living in the family zone for the moment. Right. But, you know, Owen Vaccaro, who you might know from House with a Clock on Its Walls or Daddy's Home, he's in those films. He's our lead, and he's a terrific actor. And Tony Patelis plays Nono, and he is also a wonderful actor and a New Yorker. So, yeah, I mean, we're super happy. We're really proud, and we cannot wait to get this out to people. It's been a long time coming, and we've had a little bit of a delay with the pandemic, but we're happy to get it out.
I want you to quickly, because this is something that I think would be great for you to know. I just messaged her a link. Marilyn, if you're watching, I just sent you a link in Messenger. Why don't you come say hello to Andrew for a second, and so he can meet the Queen of Staten Island. if you're available, Marilyn, I don't mean to catch you like that in case you're just hanging out in the house and you don't want to come on camera. Marilyn, why don't you come on? I sent you a link in Messenger for a second. Just click on it, put your name in the box, and come on in and say hi to Andrew for a second, because two Staten Islanders such as yourselves with a big movie like this should know each other, considering everything you do for everybody on Staten Island. Marilyn is amazing in social media, and let's see if she's going to come on. But, okay, she's coming on. Let's see. She's going to click. Click on the link in Messenger, Marilyn. So anyway, but, you know, the other thing that this hit home with me, Andrew, is because our son is 13 going on 14. And this whole iPad thing and the whole everything with iPads.
Yeah.
I swear, these kids today, to get them off the electronics, it is a battle. It is a battle. And now that they're remote learning, at least our son is, it's all day. Even the school is on the iPad.
Yes.
So this movie has a lot of relevance, you know, to the generation right now.
Yes, it is about culture clash for sure. It's about generational culture clash, and it will definitely inspire parents, hopefully, to understand what we're trying to say with this message and that we empathize. But, you know, we have some solutions too.
Right, right. No doubt. I mean, well, we'll see if Marilyn comes on, but we're not going to delay anything here. So one of the things I want to do is, oh, I think I just heard her. Yep, there she is. Welcome. Hello. Marilyn.
Hi, Marilyn.
Hello. The Queen of Staten Island, meet the almost King of Staten Island.
Yes, hi. Oh, I know Team Marco. I saw you filming. I'm friends with Julio.
Great. I had a feeling, yeah, if you were that prominent on Staten Island, there's no way you would have missed us the last few years.
No. I'm actually the blog Staten Island NYC Living.
Oh, okay. Well, of course you know about Team Marco.
Yes, I know about everything that's going on. And excuse my look, I was actually editing film. So this is my
I hope I didn't catch you, like that. You look great. You look great.
You caught me. I'm wearing my Vermont t-shirt. Nothing ever happens in Vermont. You know that. And I'm just hanging out, going to eat a bagel. That's what us New Yorkers do.
It's a very Staten Island thing to do, yes, absolutely.
Yeah. You know.
I wish I had a bagel right now.
Where are you now?
I'm in the Lower East Side. So,
you got good bagels, except they closed as a bagel, but what can you do?
We got Co-Stars right down the block. So.
Oh, can't go wrong.
No.
But, I think Team Marco is going to be great. It's, you know, we need to start making more movies about the time of our growing up, because there's not a lot of that. And you see some TV shows like The Goldbergs, and I'm sorry, I'm on my phone, so I keep on turning the angle.
It's fine.
But, you know, you see these shows, but there was something special about the time that all of us were growing up in the city. And I tell people about it. It's like when I ran into Dangerfields, when Rodney was on the stage and screamed Rodney out and then ran out of the shop. You know, it's just dancing on speakers at Studio 54 when you're 16 years old. I mean, who does that stuff?
Well, I mean, the times are different, and that's, you know, we were highlighting those kind of differences and the goods of both and the detraction of both, you know, so there's some value in the way we grew up, clearly, younger people. And then there are things that we can learn from them, too. And I think that's what we tried to accomplish with Team Marco.
Well, I'm looking forward to it. Edward says, yes, my daughter has an iPad and the technology is a problem. You bet it is. I thank God my daughter loves to paint and draw with traditional materials, sometimes 10 hours a day. Wow. I don't think she has an iPad problem if she's painting 10 hours a day. That's amazing. Wow. Good for her, Edward.
But Marilyn, I have a lot of illustration majors in my class this semester.
Marilyn is an adjunct professor at FIT. And mm-hmm. He was the one that introduced me to the powers that be at FIT, and they brought me in as an adjunct. So I'm indebted to her for getting my adjunct professorship started. And now you guys know each other personally, so I hope you stay in touch.
Let's definitely connect. I will do my best to help get Team Julio out there.
All right.
Team Marco. I love Julio. What?
Team Marco, Team Julio, Team Scrivani.
We'll take it off.
You know what it is? It's really interesting because we have a few production companies now on Staten Island, mm-hmm. and we now have a studio.
That's right.
A big studio on Staten Island. Right. And so we've lost a lot of that space, and even with Long Island City, look, we lost I don't know if the Sunbeam Studios are still there.
I'm not sure. I know Silver Cup is still there.
Silver Cup, yes. The other bread, Sunbeam. But you really don't often have the opportunities, especially in film and the authenticity. You know, it's fun to be on with three authentic New Yorkers, and I don't mean to.
No, you know, it's really something here. I'm a born and bred New Yorker. I was born in Manhattan Hospital. You can't get more Manhattan than that.
And I was born in Brooklyn Hospital. So how do you like that? Where are you born, Andrew?
St. Vincent's.
Staten Island?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, so you're right. Nothing is more authentic than this.
Wow, man. This is
and I think hard. That we have a lot to say because of it, because our perspective is, and this is really important, and I'm sorry to blow up your time here, but what I find is really important is that we have a certain perspective because we have nowhere else to go. This is our home. This is our place. And, you know, we can escape here, but we'll be strangers in a strange land. And why should we do that?
No. So thanks for coming. Thanks for coming. And
all right, Marilyn.
Appreciate your support. Thank you so much.
Love you.
Looking forward to seeing your film. Thank you. Okay.
Thank you.
Bye bye.
All right. Bye. Whoops. Hold on. Remove her. Okay. I almost hit the other button, which would have canceled our live stream. We don't want to do that.
No, we don't want to do that.
No, we don't want to do that. I have too many guests. I'm trying to surprise you with too many things here. This has been a fun hour and 10 minutes. We're going to almost wrap it up. But one of the things I want to talk about, I'll give you 5 minutes because I want you to hit on this. Tell everybody, Andrew, about all the teaching you do through Adobe Live and everything else, because that's really important for people to go to. I'm going to put your website up and show them where they can go to see a lot of the videos.
Yeah, I'm teaching a lot of online classes. I've worked with three platforms, primarily with Creative Live. Creative Live is a company out of Seattle that deals with teaching creatives how to do certain aspects, whether it be music, photography. We're starting some more classes in film. We've already taught one class in film. So we're doing a lot of that. So I think I have probably like 8 or 9 titles combined.
Look at all these videos, man.
Yeah, this is some of the videos that are available on YouTube. I've done also a lot of instruction for Adobe because they represent my stock collection. So they've asked me to do some instructional work with them. Plus, I also did an intense food photography class for a company called Craftsy, which is out there. They don't normally do a lot of photography, but my class is part of that because they saw the overlap with food and photography. And I went out to Denver probably like 7 or 8 years ago, and that class is still out there, and it's still getting students. So
you even have a video up there for social media for photographers. I love it.
Yeah, I've done several classes on social media for photographers. That one is from B&H Photo. I've done part of their lecture series, which is in person, and then they videotape it and put it out online. And then I've also have one for Creative Live just recently, because that was the one I was doing when I flew out there in March.
Right. No, everybody, go to andrewscrivani.com and go to his section on it. He has such a great website. You'll love it. He has motion, he has cookbooks, he has his current work, and then you can go to YouTube and check out all his YouTube videos and learn a hell of a lot from Andrew, because he is a wealth of knowledge. You know, and one of the final things I wanted to touch on real quick to make sure everybody knows on your Instagram page that you are an avid Instagram user, of course, and one of the great things is that you have, I'm going to pull it up here real quick. You have let me do this. You have all these wonderful stories that you continue to do all the time. Quickly tell everybody on Instagram, if they go to your stories, about Work From Home Cafe.
Yeah, Work From Home Cafe was started during the pandemic back in March, where I was doing stories of recipes that I was cooking at home for my wife and for myself while we were home. You know, with nowhere, we used to eat in restaurants a lot, and we don't do that so much anymore. So I posted a lot of recipes, and then I put them on my story history, and I also have them on YouTube. Also, the ones I did for Creative Live, there are 12 that I did.
Everyone, welcome back to the Work From Home Cafe. So, where am I coming up with ideas for what I'm doing here? And a lot of times, it's when I'm looking through my archives and I see a picture and I say, I remember that. I want to eat that again. So that happened to me this week. I was looking through some pictures and found this one of a pulled pork sandwich. And I really wanted pulled pork. So I went about developing my pulled pork recipe and I'm going to share it with you today. So hanging in there. I'm here for you. Check out this pulled pork recipe. I think you're going to like it.
Wow. Love it. Love it. Love it. So, you know, that's great. So everybody check out Andrew Scrivani on Instagram. And make sure you go to his Insta store, IG stories. He's a master at these stories, and I love stories. Did you catch the one I did with you with the Godfather music?
Yes, very good.
I thought it was fitting for that photo, man. That's, I love that photo. By the way, can we give a shout out to the photographer of that photo?
With
the camera in one hand and the knife in the other.
Oh, yes. That's John Cornicello. Okay. Cornicello Photo or John Cornicello at Instagram. He's a photographer friend that I met through Creative Live in Seattle, and we've stayed friends for many years. He's originally a New Yorker. He's a really, really wonderful guy.
Okay. How do you spell his last name, just so people can check him out?
Cornicello. Cornicello.
Okay. Cornicello. Okay. John Cornicello. Yeah. Check him out. He took this wonderful photo of Andrew on his website that I had shown at the end of my slideshow. I always want to give credit where credit's due. So I figured it was on your website. It was okay to show it. But the thing is that I always love to give the shout out.
He's great. So I saw Peter De Silva made a little comment at the bottom. Hi, Peter. It's been a long time.
Hey, thanks for the great show and splash of color this morning. Peter, we love you, man.
I hope you're doing okay out there in California.
Yeah, you know, I just spoke to Peter the other day. I was on the phone with him while he was driving, and all of a sudden I heard his shutter going off. And he's been a guest and he's a friend. And I said, Peter, what are you doing? He says, hold on, Steph. I said, oh, I know what he's doing. He rolled down his window. All of a sudden I hear him go, coyote. I'm like, coyote? Wait, one coyote or coyotes? And he took this amazing image of this coyote. It's so sad, though. Scared, ears down with this glow behind it. Oh, my God. And if you go to his Facebook page, he's been posting some stuff that he's been taking. It is so tragic what's going on out there, you know?
Yep. So he's from Lashara. Hi, Lashara.
Hey, Zara, how you feeling? All right. Thanks for coming.
Zara, also formerly of the New York Times, close friend of ours, a family friend. I'm glad she's here. Hi,
LaShawn. Oh, yeah. I know her and your wife are really tight.
They are buddies. Yes, absolutely.
We run into each other when I was covering the Pulitzers every year, and they were like this.
Yes.
So thank you, LaShawn, for coming on and sharing this broadcast. Thank you. We hope you're well. One of the things I wanted to do in closing is say thank you, Andrew. You know, it's been a great hour and 15 minutes. I think everybody loved it, I'm sure. And you made a couple of connections. Well, you made a couple of connections with David and Marilyn now in Staten Island. That Marilyn's the woman. I'm telling you, hook up with her, man. Team yep. Marco, baby. So I wish you luck with the film. I'm going to watch it. That's for sure. I'm going to have our son watch it with me. And hey, guys, great to see you both. You too, LaShawn. Have a great weekend and glad you're feeling better. So anyway, thank you so much. It's been wonderful. That's all I can say. I'll give you the last words here. Anything you want to tell your fans?
Well, thank you so much for having me, first of all. Also, thank you so much for all the support. I think that the Instagram and Facebook and all of the social media families that sort of support my work. And, I think it's been a long, interesting road in photography and into these new ventures. And the support that everyone has shown me has been a remarkable, overwhelming, and humbling. So I just thank you. And thanks for having me. And it was a really nice time today. So
well, we thank you. And I'm going to bring Jonathan on, who's my co-producer, who drives the car behind the scenes. Make sure all the comments are up, make sure all the banners and tickers are working properly. Helps me with so much. I can't thank him enough for being my co-producer. Jonathan, why don't you say something about yourself in parting here?
I am a full-time flaneur, a sometime writer, and part-time tech. As brief as I can get.
Thank you so much, Jonathan. And he's not wearing one of his 100 hats.
I think there are fewer than 100.
He has a lot of hats, so Jonathan's a great guy. Anyway, listen, I'm going to do some promo at the end. Andrew, if you stick around for 2 seconds, a minute or so, I'm just going to do my promos. I just want to have a word with you, and then I'll let you go.
Of course. Thanks so much, everyone.
All right. See you soon. Hold on. So, folks, I hope you've enjoyed this Spin It Social Hour. It's been an amazing time with Andrew Scrivani talking about his incredible food photography. My name is Stefan Kaplan. And that was Jonathan Borstein, my co-producer. So I'm going to do a quick few promotions here. First, next week's guest, folks, I am proud to let you know that it's Thomas Werner, co-founder of the new Ascended Creative. That's A-S-C-E-N-D, parentheses E-D, parentheses close, creative, Ascended Creative. Thomas Werner Projects on Instagram. He has an amazing new educational venture that is all about learning online, and you can figure out how you want to learn in groups, individually, with whoever it is that your mentors are meant to be. Go and check out ascendedcreative.com, and Thomas is going to be my guest next week. I can't wait. I was introduced to him by a friend from the New York Times, a freelancer named Aaron Lee Feynman, whose wife is Nicole Feynman, who is one of the graphics, one of the art department people at the New York Times. So anyway, thank you for that introduction, Aaron. So the next thing I want to do is tell you about tomorrow's read-along with Sri. 8:30 every Sunday. Come along, join our read-along family, our NYT read-along family. We read the New York Times every Sunday like a bunch of crazy people, as Sri says. And Sri brings on the best guests, many from the Times and many from beyond. David Housewright tomorrow, past president of Private Eye Writers of America. Come join us tomorrow morning, 8:30 online. Find it. And finally, also, She's on Call, a new show talking about everything COVID, everything medical, with two of my favorite doctors, Dr. Sujana and Dr. Marina. Please join in Sunday, September 13th, tomorrow at 11 a.m. after the NYT read-along. And once again, Real Talk Live from the Barn, the show I am directing and producing with a true visionary brand strategist, Emilio Pardo, and my dear friend and his dear friend, Christine Whalen, Dr. Christine Whalen, talking about small steps to making meaning in chaos. Join us Sunday, September 20th at 6:30 p.m., please. Folks, another great Spin It Social Hour. I thank you so much for your support. Find the Spin It Social Hour also on YouTube. It now has its own custom URL, Spin It Social Hour. All 23 shows are up there with some amazing photographers. Learn about them, support our photo community, and thank you and be well. Take care, everyone. Bye-bye.